I want us to go directly to the Word of God. And the topic that I'm going to talk about today says, the story is still going around. The story is still going around. We're going to take our Bible and read in Matthew chapter 28. Because of time, you will help me maybe do the reading on your own at home from verse 1. But I will just start from verse 11 because of time. Matthew, the Gospel, chapter 28, and from verse 11, the Bible says, while the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money. I want to emphasize this. They gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we still satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldier took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story had been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. I want to back it up with Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. Colossians chapter 3, from verse 1 to 5. I want to read swiftly. The Bible says here, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurities, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. I want to stop there with the reading. We're going to pray again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful morning. It's a brilliant day. We thank you for your Holy Spirit in the house. We know, Spirit of Comforter, you are here to comfort us for this sad news that we've heard. We are all devastated with the community of the Filipinos. We are friends, we are brothers, we are sisters. We ask you, God, to extend your hand upon the community and us upon us as well. Lead us now as we hear your word. I'm just standing as a vessel, Lord God. I need your Holy Spirit so that you can use me, Lord God. Speak through me and talk to us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. He is risen indeed. We know just 1 week, last Sunday, we celebrated the Easter Sunday, which is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's just 1 week now, and we are still in the mood. We are still in the, as a church tradition, we are still speaking of the apparitions of Jesus. How did he appear after he rose from the dead? And you will see it's been, the Bible record that he appeared for 40 days in different manners to the disciples and to people. And that is what we are still on in the Christian family or Christian church. So the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus, also known as apparitions. This is a vital and powerful part of the Christian faith. The appearances confirm the bodily resurrection of Christ, strengthen the disciples' faith, and launch the church into its global mission. What exactly we've read here in the book is after Jesus rose from the dead. And what exactly do we know about Jesus appearing after his resurrection for 40 days? The Bible has many facts, many instances. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they recorded differently in their ways how Jesus appeared to the disciples and to people in those 40 days. I want to give you some facts here before I enter in the story that my topic says the story is still around. But I want to bring some different instances in the Bible which shows about the appearances of Jesus or apparitions. Number one, he appeared to a woman first, Matthew 28, verse 8 to 10, and John 20, verse 11 to 18. Jesus appeared first to Mary Magdalene and later to other women at the tomb. And this shows us clearly that God honors the faith of women and honors people who have a humble heart and faithfulness. Can you help me, please, to clap for Jesus because our sisters and women in this church, let's clap for Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. I've seen it over and again everywhere in the ministry. Everywhere you see the church, the big number is women. And that's the blessing. And the Bible says women were the one who were following all what happened to Jesus at the crucifixion. They were there. And not only that, at the resurrection, they went at the tomb to see what had happened with the Messiah. So that is good. We also find here, if you read in Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 35, you see Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus. Two discouraged disciples met Jesus, but they did not recognize him until he broke the bread. The story teaches us what? It teaches us that Jesus walks with us even when we don't recognize him. Sometimes we, throughout our difficulties in life we go through, we just, this is Jesus helping me here. This is Jesus helping me in this what I'm going through. You may not realize it in the beginning, but at the end, that was him. That was God. He was with me. So he appeared to the disciples who were on their way to Emmaus, and then later they discover, wow, this was Jesus. And I pray for us that we be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in our life so that we may understand, yes, I'm not alone. He is with me. This is the Lord. This is him guiding me. He's leading me. Through your conversation, you want to say something wrong, the Holy Spirit protect you. He said, this is the Lord. So he was with them. We also find here in Luke chapter 24, verse 34, and Paul also supports this in 1 Corinthians 15, 5. He appeared to Peter, that Paul called him Cephas, and he had a personal visit to Peter. And you remember Peter, during that heavy time of Jesus to go to the crucifixion, Peter denied Jesus three times. So he came to him as well, and then by showing the grace and the power of the personal restoration. I remember when Peter saw Jesus and he was in the water, and he fell in the water, and Jesus was there restoring him and visiting him. The appearances of Jesus or apparition of Jesus. If you go to Luke 24, 36 to 49, he appeared to 10 disciples. 10 disciples. That is the disciple without Thomas. He appeared to them. And he showed himself to them, stood among them and said, peace be with you. He showed them his wounds and also breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit, a sign of empowerment. Every morning when you wake up and you do your meditation and devotion, you pray, God always breathe on you through the Holy Spirit, through his word, the power, the love, the grace upon your life. As well, he appeared to Thomas and the disciples, because Thomas was not at the first apparitions. Then he came to show himself to him. A week later, Jesus appeared again, this time for Thomas, who doubted. And Thomas confessed and said, my Lord and my God. I love that. In our little community church, in the Easter time, we did what we call a reflection about the way to the resurrection. And then we compare the life of Peter, the life of Judas Iscariot, and the life of Thomas. And we find that this is true. Like, trust me, this is true. The difference between Christian is not the body, is not any other thing. The difference between us, church, is the state of our heart. Some has broken heart and others has hard heart. Judas Iscariot was a disciple. He walked with Jesus all those times, 3 years. Thomas was a disciple. Peter was a disciple. All of them, they were there. Now, why, when things came hard for Judas Iscariot, he could not repent? Hard heart. He had a chance. Jesus said, hey, among of you, someone who's deep in with me will betray me today. And they asked themselves, is me, Lord? And Jesus said, yes. Is it me? Jesus said, yes. Jesus said, yes, it's you. He didn't repent. Instead, he kept going ahead with doing something wrong. But Peter, when he denied Jesus 3 times, after he saw Jesus, he cried. He wept. He had a very hard remorse. So, brothers and sisters, the Bible says, blessed are those who are poor in the spirit. And what that means? It means to be humble, broken heart, knowing that I'm a human being. I'm always a sinner. God, forgive me. If you have that heart, you are in good line because you live the life of sanctification and being humble. So he appeared to Peter, he appeared to the disciple, and also he appeared again to see if he could help Thomas to believe that he's risen. And Thomas confessed and said, my Lord, my God. This is a powerful affirmation of Christ's divinity. Was that all? No. He also appeared by the Sea of Galilee, John 21:1-14. And also he restored Peter publicly, John 21:15-19. Remember, he asked Peter 3 times, Peter, son of Jonah, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? 3 times to restore him 3 times, because he also denied him 3 times. And also he appeared for 500 believers, 1 Corinthians 15:6, that's what Paul say, and that he appeared to them, and then they saw that Jesus was risen, or he is risen. And that was a massive confirmation of his resurrection. Question, do you still believe that Jesus rose from the dead? That is a very crucial part of the gospel. He died, he was buried, and the 3rd day he rose from the dead. It may sound very simple to hear, but it's a statement which has divided the world. Many people have had hard time to understand and to believe about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he also appeared to James, his brother. And the Bible says as well, he came one time in Matthew 28:16-20. He gave the great commission. Now you can tell he was in body. He gave the great commission. Matthew 28. Go ye to the world, make all the nations the disciple, preaching and giving them the word of God, preach them, and after they've received the word of God, they believed, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I was telling the young boy here, congratulations to you, young boy. You got baptized. I heard about that. Thank you. God bless you. And keep it up. That is good. And the final appearance of Jesus you will find is at the day of Ascension in Acts 1:3-11. That was his final appearance. He appeared over 40 days teaching and preparing the disciples. Then he ascended into heaven officially, publicly, while promising to return. Do you believe that Jesus is coming back? Of course. The same way they saw him going, that the same way he'll come back. Hallelujah. Maranatha, come Jesus. Hallelujah. So the apparitions of Jesus or post-resurrection appearances are very historical, physical, and transformational. He appeared to both both individuals and a large group, proving over and again the reality of his resurrection. And these appearances, church, is to restore our faith and commission us again and prepare us as his followers to carry the gospel out and keep preaching the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I try to give a highlight a little bit about his the apparition of Jesus or after his resurrection, that he appeared here and there in 40 days, until he ascended to heaven. But where we read, we go back there to our topic saying that that story is still going around. What happened there? The Bible says when the women went to the tomb, they saw the angel told them that he's not here. And then as they were coming back, the Bible says, while in where we read here, verse 11, the Bible says that while the women were on their way, some of the guards, I like to call it soldiers, because when I say guard, it sounds like my African accent. When I say guard, it's as if I'm talking about God, right? So I'm very careful. So I'll try to speak about soldiers instead of guard. So understand me. Hallelujah. So while the women were on their way, some of the soldiers went into the city and reported the chief priest everything that had happened. When the chief priest had met with the elders and devised a plan, there was a plan, the plots, the conspiracy, something was to be cooked out somewhere. They cooked up a very, according to them, it was relevant, but according to me and all of us, it was irrelevant story that they had to make up. People are very good in making story up, right? So they try to make up story. They say, you are to say, but before that, you are to say, they say, we have to find something that will convince those soldiers so that they can carry out with this lie, this deception. What did they say? We have to give them what? Money. Why? Because the soldiers, by that time, they were not well paid. In North America, we are good. Soldiers are among the best employees, so they have good money. But in Africa, brothers and sisters, those who come to Nigeria, they know it. The soldiers, the police, those are the really very suffering place. That's why they are really living in corruption. So those soldiers, they got a chunk of money. They gave them money. They knew that if they can give them money, they can easily change the truth. So you can say that his disciple came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report of resurrection get to the governor, if we say that they stole away the Lord Jesus, we will still satisfy and keep you out of trouble. So, as I was doing my studies when I was preparing this sermon, I find out that this story that they make up or they cooked up was even irrelevant. It was inconsistent. It was not enough to convince me today, even to convince you, even my children next time. No. This story they make up, it's not relevant. It's irrelevant. Let me give you the fact. One, if the soldier, let me call soldier, not guard, if the soldier was found sleeping at his post, or if a prisoner escaped, the soldier would be put to death according to that tradition of Romans, right? You're going to find this in Acts chapter 12, 19, Acts 16, 29, and 27, 42. So there was no way to convince people that those soldiers, their story was relevant. There was no way. Because they could be afraid to let Jesus be stolen because they put them there to guard the tomb. Number two, it may have been possible for one soldier to sleep, but not all of them. One can sleep, but not all of them. Why? Because they're on duty, right? They're on duty. They're guards. So, as again here, we find the story was not relevant. Number three, if they were asleep, all of them, why should people, listen to me, church, why should normal people believe to their story while they were sleeping? How did they see people coming to steal Jesus? You see that? They were sleeping. Now they come. Oh, you know what? The man who was buried here, you know, they came and where were you? Oh, we are sleeping. Being a guard? How did you see that? So you see, the story did not make sense. But because they got money, and money has power. Can you tell your neighbor money has power? Turn to your neighbor, please. Help me. Turn to your neighbor. Turn to someone close to you. Say, money has power. Yeah, turn to him. Turn to him, say, money has power. So because money has power, money blinded the soldiers. They could not even think to do the analysis or even the critical of this makeup story. they went with the story outside. You know what happened? The more they were sharing the wrong story, the more they were spreading out the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's clap for Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, you ask me how. Let me explain. How did they help to spread out the resurrection of Jesus? Let me explain how. First of all, there were people who were very bad paid. They could not have enough money. Now, they got a chunk of money. Oh, I remember the first day I received money, it was in Canada. The first time I got, Eva, you remember that? Don't tell nobody. When was the last time you received money, good money? Like, I mean, I touched $1,000 money in Canada. I didn't touch $1,000 in Africa. How can you get it? Where? So they touched the money they have never touched. Can they keep quiet? Of course not. Their lifestyle in 1 week changed. Their women could go buy something to the shop, buying good food, buying good clothes. And if they were drunkard, they started drinking here and there. And now in the community, people would ask them, hey, we see you today. What's happened? Tell us, what is the secret? Got another job? Anything good happened? What happened? You look different today. And they could say just a little thing. Hey, what I'm about to tell you here, please help me. Zip, don't tell nobody. What? What happened? Listen, the man who was buried here, he rose from the dead. But they gave us big money so that we cannot share that. So please don't tell nobody. And the more they were saying that, the more the story about the resurrection took out the place in Jerusalem. Let's clap for Jesus. Hallelujah. So the question we ask here, did the money of those elders and the leaders who paid the soldier, did their money work for their favor? Absolutely no. It was a waste. That's why, please allow me, if you could, I want to talk a bit, as I'm going to conclude, I want to talk a bit about we as Christian, we have two stories which are ahead of us that we are to support. We have two stories that we can promote. We may promote lies, deceptions, or we may stand on the side of the truth and proclaim Christ resurrected. So here we find those people paid a chunk of money to just trying to fight the truth, but they could not, because they say truth is like the sun. You cannot hide the sun to rise. It always rises. So the question that I want us to come and ponder together as children of God, as a family, as a community, as believers, as disciples of Jesus Christ, I want us to take our mind and think about how will my money, your money, did I say money? Did I just say the money here in pulpit today? Did I? Sorry, Vicky. Money is the very strong, difficult topic to speak about. And I never preach about money. But I want us to think, those people who gave their money was remembered for the wrong motives. So how will your money be remembered for? How will my money be remembered for? I just want to take a little minute to think about it. The money used to spread the lies was remembered for bribery and deception. But you and I, we children of God, the godly money we have is to be remembered as, in the Bible, what Dorcas did. Dorcas used her resources, her money, to help the needy. Hallelujah. Our money is to be remembered as what the Good Samaritan did. He paid to save the life of someone who was in need, in a very tough condition. So his money was remembered in advancing the God kingdom. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that today, in this world we live in, billions of dollars are spent to promote evil. from weapons of destruction like nuclear weapon, which can go from one continent to another continent just to destroy people, even to many other more evil program which has been implemented every single year just for the destruction. But God is calling you and I, God is calling us, his people, to invest in what is eternal, to promote the truth, to side up with the truth, to support the truth, not to stop the truth, not to make a stumbling block about the truth, but to spread the truth. Jesus, our Lord, said the harvest is plentiful in Matthew 9, verse 37, and many are waiting to hear the truth that we are to stand on the side of Jesus to support the cause of the gospel. Jesus is alive, as we said, and he desired that his story, the true story, be shared without fear, without any fear. And not only that we as children of God, I know we are doing very well by standing on the side of the gospel, by standing on the side of the truth, spreading the gospel, sharing the gospel, supporting the work of God, praying for the laborers. That is an important thing to do. But we need to know, if we are not standing on the side of the truth, then we are standing on the side of the deception or lies. But the money that we've been blessed with, the money that God has bestowed upon our life, is a tool. It's a powerful tool. And that is it's beautiful that God has put in our life so that we can use it not for evil, but for good. Church, do you know that your money has power? It carries the potential to do great good or great harm. The money that we have. To bless others or to destroy lives. The money that we have. Money is not inherently evil, but how we earn it, use it, or prioritize it reflects the condition of our hearts. Money has power to do good. The Bible says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruit of your produce. Money can be a wonderful servant when used for righteous purpose. Through money, people buy food, people buy clothes, people buy homes, educate children, help the poor, support mission, and build churches like this. Money has power to do good if we allow our money to do good. Joseph of Arimathea, we read the story when Jesus was already dead on the cross. He used his wealth to buy a tomb for Jesus. You read that in Matthew 27. The three women, Mary Magdalene, Mary mother of James, and Salome, bought expensive spices to anoint the body of Jesus. Money is a good tool to do good. When used rightly, it becomes a testimony of faith and love for God. So as we usually say in English, they say, action speaks louder than words. I think we can also say, money speaks louder than your word. Because they say, you can give without love, but you cannot love without giving. So money can also be used for evil, as we said. But Paul, the Bible is encouraging us over and again to stand on the side of using money as a good tool for the gospel. It says here in the book that we are to stand and support the gospel with our money. It's a command. I've read this in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18. Take your time whenever you get your time and read. It's a command that Paul was telling Timothy to tell the people, and even the rich people, that command to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. It's a command for us children of God to stand on the side of doing good with all what we have. And that's what we are doing, and glory be to Jesus. So as believers, church, we know that God blesses us so that we also may be a blessing and sponsor of the kingdom, help the kingdom of God to advance. I was doing my little reading here. I found my favorite evangelist on the international level. I used to love him from back there when I got saved. The man was called Billy Graham. Maybe many of us know him or remember about him. I found one quotation that he said. He said, if a person gets his attitude toward money straight and right, it will help strengthen out almost every other area of his life. I like this in Swahili. When I translate it in Swahili, it says, if you can be able to master your money, then you can be able to master everything about your life. So that is so good and powerful. Question again, it comes, how will your money be remembered for? Remember, the people gave their money to suppress the truth, but they failed. And how is your money to be remembered? Will your money be remembered like that of Joseph of Arimathea, who gave with honor? Or will your money be remembered like Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus just for getting a little amount of shekel? It's important that we think about that story. The story is still around even now. If you see all over the world, even the community of Jews, even the community of the Muslim, they always say Jesus was not risen. They stole his body. The story is still there. But we as children of God, we are working hard. We are fulfilling the mandate that has been given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ to go outside and tell people our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead and he is alive. Your money can be a legacy in progress. One day it will tell your story. Remember this, brothers and sisters. You are writing your financial testimony every day by the way you give to the work of God. You save some. You send people who are lost in their sins, and you spend by helping those who are in need. So, the money is a tool, a good tool when it is in the good hands, but it's going to be a bad tool when it's in the bad hands. You and I, children of God, we are good people. That's why we are standing together to support the work of God. I will always thank God for this church, Mountain View. If we see Pastor Brother Solomon, you know him, that's my second son, his family, his wife, his and all the family, they came to Canada from the refugee camp because of the money from this church. God bless you. God bless Mountain View. That's how the money can work powerfully. And those people will never forget that. Even those children, they will never forget that. They'll have this story again and again in their life because the money you guys donated, supported, and did a good job. So money is a powerful tool. It can build hospital, destroy lives, support missionaries or fund murderers. So which one do you wanna support for? Do you wanna build hospital or you wanna destroy life? You wanna support missionaries or stand on funding murderers? Those people in the Bible we read, they stood on side of suppressing the truth by paying a bunch of money just for no reason. Brothers and sisters, I'm not just here to speak much about money, but it's a matter of helping you, helping myself, understanding that we are called to stand with the gospel and on the side of the gospel with anything that God has put in our life. Let your money be a voice for the gospel. Let your money stand to help someone somewhere who is in need. That is very important. We have a team in Uganda even now. Our team are still there on the ground. They are working hard, doing the discipleship, making disciples, reaching out to people. And one of the lately newsletters that they sent me, I want to read for you just quickly because of the time. Listen to this. It's very, very good and heartbreaking as well. In the month of February 2025, one of our disciple-making team narrated this powerful testimony. On 8th February 2025, Mr. Constantine and his wife, Christine, came to seek prayer. They came to seek prayer. This happened after they were in the small city of Chegegwa, in the refugee camp looking for a witch doctor for healing. Mr. Kostatin is a Mukiga man, and he's 65-year-old, and his wife is 50-year-old. She is a Munyarwanda. In their marriage, they had 18 children. You see, I told you, I have only 6 children. Now you see that, right? There, someone was triple, right? This is 18, is triple. Let me continue the reading. They had 18 children, of which 3 are already dead and 15 are still alive. Still, this couple came to Chegegwa refugee camp looking for, they were in the refugee camp, and they were sick. And then they went to look for witch doctors' assistance for their health, where they stayed 2 weeks and they paid 2 million Uganda shilling, but they did not get well. Instead, their condition worsened. So they get support from their friend from abroad. And then they went to get support, the health care from the witch doctor, because they were tormented by the evil spirit. In the West, we're good. We don't know about the influence of Satan and the evil spirit. Thank God. But in Africa, you pray or you die. You either pray to God or you're going to go. Because the evil spirit is just sweeping. I don't know if it's because of poverty, but I think it's because people have bad hearts. Let me continue. To make even things worse, a night they had a terrible experience. The stone and strange things were hitting their house, and strange voices from talking in their home house even beating them, and this gave them sleepless night. One day, the youngest daughter told them to look for a church so that they can receive prayers. When they came to Chegegwa looking for a church, they arrived at one church called Power Center, which is so-called Pentecostal. They were in the refugee camp, not believers. They go outside to look for the witch doctor. They failed. Now they went to the church for prayer, and the church is the wrong church again. Power Center Church. Remember that. Power Center Church. And which, when they arrived there, they requested them to pay 500,000 Uganda shilling for prayers. Do you know that some churches have tariff for prayer? Yeah. There are churches which has tariff for prayer. You want people to pray for you to get married? That's $100. You want to get the healing? That is $150. I don't know what is happening. We need to pray, and we need to go and help the body of Christ to come back to the foundation. So, that is when one of their daughters met Brother Carl, our team on the ground, and explained him all the situation, and she was afraid, thinking that Mr. Carl will also ask for money before prayer. In contrary, they were amazed that prayer was done for free and their condition changed. At this amazement, they asked, how can they become part of the Christian and the church? They asked Brian Carl, and he explained them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they accepted salvation, where they were baptized in a much raining water. Not like this. You know, in Africa, we don't have this. We get baptized in that terrible condition, in the very unhealthy, filthy. You get baptized and you see snake passing. Am I lying? They baptize in the very, they call it in French, le ruisseau. C'est même pas la rivière. Yeah, I know French. Le ruisseau. It's a very filthy place. I can show you the picture if you want. He sent me the picture. And what happened? They were baptized, and after the baptism, they requested to stay with Carl place, as they were still fearing the evil spirit, because they say that they remember many people were killed by that spirit in the same village. Even Constantine's sister was dead, mad, after suffering a long time from the same attack. One of their daughters confessed that at night, the demon spirit were having intercourse with her and were asked to breastfeed things that made her talking by herself at night. Many other horrible things they testify, but after prayer and giving their life to Jesus, the entire family got saved and baptized. Let's clap for Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, listen to this. Now, Now they live a peaceful life, no fear of the spirit. Instead, they are helping others in the village to embrace Christian faith. This has reported by our brother Carl in the Chegegwa refugee camp. Brothers and sisters, things are tough somewhere because of the background, which is tradition and animism. People believe in other things. But the gospel of God has, the gospel of Jesus has power to transform, to save, to convince, and to change lives. And people can live that transformed life. People can live a life of a resurrected in Christ, a life which is free from fear, free from evil spirit. So this happened because someone somewhere has stood to send someone to preach that gospel. Let me close, and sorry for the time. The apparition of Jesus after his resurrection, they are not fairy tales or hallucination. They are eyewitnesses, account that form the foundation of Christian faith. The reason Christ brings hope to the hopeless, courage to the fearful, forgiveness to the fallen, and purpose to the drifting. Just as he came to his followers, then he comes to us in different ways, in our homes, in our hearts. He answers our questions. Even in our journeys, he comes along with us and helps us. But the call that we have today is to answer, which side of the truth are you going to stand in? Are you going to support? Are you going to support the truth, which Jesus is raised, he's alive? Or are you going to support that he was not risen? And you know how you support that? You support that by keeping quiet. We're not sharing your faith. When you're not saying anything about your faith, you are already supporting that. Yesterday I was coming from, Calgary, and I took taxi at the airport, and that was a brother from Somalia. You know, Somalia is a strong and deep Islamic country. And the guy wanted to preach to me. Look at, we Christians, we are afraid to share faith, but those people are not. He wanted to preach to me. My wife was there, and he started preaching me his Muslim thing. I said, my friend, are you ready? You want us to talk about this thing, really? He said, yeah. I said, my friend, you're from Somalia, I'm from Congo. Are you sure you know Congo is a Christian religion? He said, yeah, I know, but you need to believe in Muhammad. Your religion is wrong. I said, okay. Can you make an appointment so we can take time and think deep? He said, yes. But one thing I told him, I said, Jesus is the way, life, and truth. No one come to the Father if not to him. So, brother and sister, there is a call. You and I are called to support the case of the gospel. And thank you for what you're doing. Glory be to God for what you're doing. But remember what Paul says. I don't consider myself have reached the goal, but I do one thing, forgetting what is past and focusing what is ahead. Let's keep serving God, whether through prayer, whether through sending the missionaries, whether through supporting the work of God, whether working here in this church. Let us serve God. Remember one thing, serving God is not a burden. Serving God is a privilege. May God bless you. May God bless all of us. Shall we pray? Father, I thank you for this beautiful congregation. I thank you for my brother and sister. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that has spoken to us, Lord God. I thank you for this wonderful opportunity you've given us to hear your word. Father, help us not only to be hearers of the word, but doers of what we've heard. Help us to stand on the side of the truth. As Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation. As it is written, how will they believe if they are not preached? How they preach if they are not sent? Lord, let us stand on the side of the truth every time, no matter what. Let us stand and proclaim Jesus resurrected. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you've given us. We don't know how long we're going to live again on this earth, whether 10 years, whether 20 years, whether Whenever we're going to be here, Lord, we want to ask you grace through your Holy Spirit to equip us so that we may be empowered enough to stand without fear, without shame, on the side of the gospel and the truth. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.